In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Lent is approaching. Lent, the season of repentance. And the Church gives us 4 pre-Lenten Sundays to prepare for this work that is ahead of us. Last week, we had the Sunday of the Publican and the Pharisee, where we were reminded that it doesn't matter simply doing the right things if we're doing them out of pride. What matters is a humble spirit before God, which He rewards. And today we have the Sunday of the Prodigal Son, where we hear the story of one who went astray and then repented. And we are encouraged by the fact that when he repented, the Father was waiting for him to embrace him and to kiss him and restored him immediately to what he had voluntarily abandoned. And so that is our hope, that in spite of our many sins, when we confess to God, when we return to Him, that He will also restore us, just as He restored the prodigal son in this story. But today I want to talk to you mainly about the epistle. In this epistle, St. Paul is addressing the Corinthian Christians, who we might consider to be the rebellious young men of the New Testament times. Much like the prodigal son in the story. They think that they can manage their faith, their spiritual life, by themselves without the guidance of their father, the Apostle Paul, who brought them this faith. They have brought in other leaders who tell them more what they want to hear, and they follow those teachings instead. And so St. Paul, in today's epistle, he addresses them as a good father would a rebellious and wandering and erring young man. He addresses them in the same way many fathers have addressed their usually teenage sons. You know, there's a period of time when there needs to be a transition that happens in our moral consciousness, our moral awareness. When children are young, parents give them rules because they don't yet have the ability to understand the reasons and the principles and all of the ideas and what goes behind it, what comes behind it. But if they are to become adults, to be self-sufficient, to live on their own, to be somewhat independent, they must learn how to make decisions in a more mature way by considering the pros and cons, by considering each choice that they have to make in the light of how it will impact them and those around them. We, as a human race, were much like those children before the coming of Christ, where God governed us through rules, because we weren't morally educated enough yet to accept the principles. But when Christ comes, He reveals to us the logic behind the rules, and He teaches us to be guided by the spirit of the law rather than the letter of the law. Of course, these two are not opposed to each other. The letter reflects the spirit, and yet the letter is imperfect because it can't address every circumstance and every variable that might come up. And so St. Paul taught in all the churches that he went to that we are no longer under the law, but we are under grace. And we ought to be guided by the Spirit of God and not limited by the letter of the law. The Corinthians, however, took that license and ran with it. And so St. Paul today addresses them, and he takes some of the things that they may have been saying and points out the problems with their thinking. He says, "All things are lawful for me." They say, "Well, St. Paul said that we are no longer bound by the law, so everything is lawful for us. There is no more law. We can do whatever we want." Does that sound familiar? St. Paul doesn't contradict it. He doesn't say, "No, you need to follow the law." Instead, what he says is, "Not all things are helpful." Sure, maybe everything is lawful, but what is helpful? This is the first principle that we have to bring to bear as we try to gain a more mature morality. Understanding, not just from a worldly perspective, what is helpful, though that can be of benefit. You know, so often we impulsively or even compulsively keep up behaviors that are actually harming us physically, that even worldly people who have no knowledge of Christ understand to be harmful and destructive. And certainly this pausing to think about what is helpful should prevent us from doing those things. But then more than that, Christ has revealed to us a spiritually beneficial way of life. He's revealed to us the path to eternal life. He's showed us how certain ways of living, certain ways of thinking, certain ways of speaking lead us off of that path towards death. And so if we understand that, again, even when we face those things, that those sins that the world embraces, we should be able to see and perceive and motivate ourselves by understanding that these things are harmful to us spiritually. St. Paul repeats, "All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything." This is one of the specific harms that sin brings into our lives. We think we're living freely because we're doing whatever we want. We're breaking the rules. But that sin then grabs hold of our hearts and keeps us as its slave. So that then we lose our ability, especially over time, as these sins develop into habits. We lose much of our ability to turn away from them. And they shift, as I said before, from being impulsive to being compulsive. So again, if we can pause when we have that moment of desire and think, is it helpful for me? Is it going to enslave me? Or does this lead to true freedom, which is found in God, freedom to be who He created us to be? And then he brings in another thing that they might have been saying to themselves. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food. Like, God gave us stomachs to eat, so we can just eat whatever we want, right? That's the purpose of the stomach. Why should we fast? But Paul responds, God will destroy both one and the other. Now, this word destroy in Greek has different shades of meaning. It can also mean abolish or render useless. And I think the render useless is more apt here. That when Christ comes again and raises all the dead and ushers us into the eternal life that He's promised us, the stomach and food will become useless. He's going to render them useless. This eternal perspective should be there to answer those temptations when they come. The temptations that seek an instantaneous and momentary gratification are rendered useless in the light of eternity. So again, three principles St. Paul gives in order to lead us to a mature morality so that we can overcome temptation, not simply through observance of rules, like children, but through making wise and discerning decisions, like adults. Thinking about what is truly helpful for us, what is truly freedom, and what matters in the light of eternity. And so, as we approach Great Lent, let us set aside all of those frivolous worldly pursuits and habits, and let us instead meditate on the law of God, which is, in fact, a law of liberty and freedom. To Him be glory, honor, and worship, to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.